true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
I'm sorry, Desmond. It's gonna sound tinny today. I am house sitting, which has been delightful and good and profound, and I have tons of stories to tell, but I don't have my microphone.
Got it. You sound pretty good.
That's good. I tried. I set myself up in here okay, but it's not ideal. Do you hear the bird?
I don't, but your okay. Mic probably does, but the Zoom does not. Mm. Zoom likes to hide background noise.
Should I pause and go back and listen and see if there's birds?
It doesn't matter if there's birds, there's birds.
Can we call this episode that?
If there's birds, there's birds.
I like that. It's like, it's a reference to the Anne Lamott book called Bird by Bird. You know that book?
No, but I'll pretend I do. Yeah.
It's a famous book about writing. It's a writer writing about writing. And she teaches like really great like ways to think when you're a writer about your process. And one of her main things that she learned from some teacher of hers was like, just write it bird by bird. So if you're sitting at a window writing about birds, looking out the window and you're like, where do I start? Just pick a bird.
Start with that bird.
Yeah. It's like they say, how do you move a mountain? One shovel at a time.
Yeah.
Shovel.
That's hard for me. I always want to be not just done, but on the next thing. That's my, I want to be on the third bird.
And that's the opposite of presence.
Yeah, baby.
I get it. I find lately I'm in a weird moment. And this is great because it's a good segue into talking about the eclipse and everything that happened for everyone I know and myself. And it's been profound. And I want to hear your stories because some of what's been going on in your life, I think, is like eclipse showing up. And then, you know, I forgot what the fuck I was going to talk about. What did I say at the beginning of that was going to lead to eclipse? Do you remember? What were we just talking about? Bird by bird.
Bird by bird. I'm on to the third bird.
Oh, I've been here going through profound shit. Oh yeah, presence. Right. So I used to be like a avid multitasker. Like I'd be like, no, I'm pro multitasking. Not only am I not like multitasking is a problem. I'm like not multitasking is a problem. And now I'm like, oh, I get what they were all saying about actually, the more the system becomes, I don't know what the words even are, light or grounded or something, integrated, softer, I don't know. The more it's like, anytime I think I could trick myself into thinking I'm doing more than one thing at a time, very immediately in doing it, it's revealed to me like, no, you need to do this thing now. Like even talking to you, if I try to eat a Cheeto, I'm not talking to you anymore.
Right, you're not talking and eating a Cheeto. You're talking, then you're eating a Cheeto, then you're talking again.
I mean, but then both are suffering. Ah. I'm not really present to the pleasure of the Cheeto and I'm not hearing you fully. I'm like sort of kind of doing both. And then there's no presence in sort of kind of doing both.
Mm.
Presence is like this full thing that's like, I don't know, it takes the all of me. It's sort of like it's the all of me or it's not. And if it's not the all of me, I'm not here. I'm this is new for me because I never felt
right
that way before.
Here's a question based on the science of differentiation.
Yeah.
Do you think that that is an absolutist concept or do you think that that is an individual concept?
When you say absolutist, what do you
like,
mean?
Like
universal?
If you were giving a talk, would you say you can't, one cannot be this if one is this? Or would you say, for me, I am realizing that I can't be fully present.
I think this one's universal because I'm not talking about an aspect of personality. Presence isn't about your personality or who you like, how you show up in it's like saying, let me see if I could do this differently. It's like saying the oxygen molecule what is oxygen made of?
Oxygen. It's just oxygen. It's a single molecule.
Or wait, what's H2O? Water. What's water?
Yeah, hydrogen and oxygen. Two molecules of hydrogen and one of oxygen.
All right. So is it individual that water is H2O or is water just H2O?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the question. I don't know. Water is just H2O. That's the nature of water.
Right.
But we also know that people process things differently, and it's right and correct for people to process things differently or to work through things differently. And I'm not arguing the point at all. I don't know.
I know.
But
we're not talking about processing.
I don't know that that's personality or not.
It's not. Here's my point. Let me try to break it down more. I think this is good. How one processes presence and how one processes are two different things.
Okay.
So presence is what the more, I would say, it's like, it's on a spectrum like anything else. The more available the body, mind, being, organism becomes to the present moment, the more room there is to receive the present moment. When there's more room all the way down and through your body, not just in your head or not just in any part, it becomes easier to see that full presence of a human being is, you can only do one thing at a time.
Yeah. I mean, I think I agree with you. I mean, I think I'm on the same page as this. I've become so aware that so often the things that we say are like,
yeah,
are general. So often we're learning that they're not. We had a long discussion the other day with my castmates about, like, one of my castmates was saying, like, no, I mean, like, we need physical touch or we can't, you know, like, it is. And I was like, you do. And I do too. And most people probably do, but you don't know. Like, so I was just, I'm really careful now. I'm always like, probably right. And like, at what point does something cross over from being like individuated, either personality or just, you know, human design or whatever, and enter the realm of just the nature of being? And I think you're probably right, because, and here's maybe why I asked the question, because of the defensive nature of my brain going, well, I can do two things at once, and then realizing, no, nobody's ever going to actually only do one thing at a time totally 100%. It's something to aim for, because even when, you know, like, if I'm eating, it would be lovely if I could just, you know, stop the world and only eat, and then have a conversation with somebody after I eat. But we're most of the time going to be mixing two or three things. Like, you're going to need to eat because you need sustenance, and it's necessary that we have this conversation. I'm only saying this to, like, know that that's a great goal, and but also not to be too in judgment of oneself for not achieving that in every moment.
Mm-hmm. It none of it is required.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the more present in one's body on a deep spiritual level one becomes, one starts to realize, oh, I thought I was present when I was doing three things.
Yeah.
I wasn't. But it wasn't from the perspective of this new me that is more present to each moment.
Uh-huh.
So presence starts to open and open and open and become like, oh, if that's presence, necessarily by doing two things, I'm not doing that thing that
yeah.
we're calling presence. Now, let's talk about this too, because I used to say I did theater, specifically acting, because when I was acting, it was the only time I felt present. The only time. And specifically acting, like, with people watching. And what I sort of came to understand over time was that people watching and the stress of having to get the lines right and do all the things you do as an actor at one moment, get it right, hit the thing, but be present and lucid, connected, and also be seen and cheat out, but also act over here. Like, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
I needed that stimulation of my nervous system to bring me to the now.
Mm.
And that's because in the same way that, you know how people who have ADHD need stimulants to calm down?
Yep.
People with trauma present as if they are ADHD, or they can, one way that trauma can present in some people is that you look like a person with ADHD, which is why I kept getting diagnosed as ADHD. I wasn't. I just had a ton of trauma, which created fragmentation and the inability to be present.
Yeah.
So stimulation, I'm on stage and it matters and I have to look good and I have to say the things and I have to commit and I have to focus, all the of it all was so intense that it was the only thing louder than my head. So it brought me now, because it's now the head is quiet because there's so much stimulation coming at me.
Yeah.
And now it's almost the opposite. Now it's like, I think about that stimulation and I hate it. Like, I don't want all that stimulation. I'm not saying this is right and good. I'm just saying what happened to me and such that I'm like, oh, I'm sitting there eating my yogurt this morning, like, and then I breathe. And then I have to go to the next step, which is like, I don't know, take the dog out. And then I go, oh, I have an email to answer. So I stop with the dog, open the phone, answer the email. And the dog's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And I'm like, not you right now. I'm doing email. I'm just finding myself unable to not be in the thing I'm in. Not unable, but it doesn't feel good to not be fully present to the thing I'm in.
Yeah.
And it's not requiring stimulus to get me there, which again, for me, with all the trauma I've carried, it's like presence was, I want to say, not thin or shallow, because those sound judgy, but I don't mean them judgmentally. They were thin and shallow. It was like, I was here, but like 95% of my nervous system was still not. It was in the past, frozen in the trauma. Whereas I think that's what it is. It's that now that like more of my spine is open and available, and this is very much up, by the way, today because of this profound healing experience that happened on the fucking solar eclipse, which I'm trying to
get
to. So I'm like extra open and whatever right now. When more of my spine has, now that more of it is open, I experience each present moment so much more all the way through me that to try to do two things, it's like, because things go all the way through, you can't put two things all the way through. You could put two things partway through, and then it feels like this. But if you put one thing all the way through, I feel like with you and me right now, I feel connected to you because I'm doing that fully, all the way through my spine, into my belly, and I can feel it in my pelvis. It's everywhere. You know, I drink this sparkly water, and it's like, that's what I'm doing now.
Right. And that's, I think,
yeah,
the part I'm really enjoying this idea of like, even when you mix them, it's like you're alternating for just a second. Like if you're fully, you're talking to me and you're fully engaged, and then, but you do pick up that sip. So you're starting to blend them a little bit, but if at your most integrated, you're going to, you know, tap out of this conversation for just a second and be fully present to the sip of the sparkly water, and then return to the, rather than continuing to stay blah, blah, blah while I'm sipping. And then I didn't really taste the water. So didn't get that experience.
So you're talking about flipping back and forth from different things you're fully present to.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm observing you do just in that moment. When you talked about, you were saying, I'm very present to this conversation. And then you picked up the cup and then you said, and now I'm very present to this drink. So that's like flipping, right?
Well, what I'm offering, though, is that the second I pick this up, I am no longer really with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, we as people like to think, no, I'm so with you. I'm so with you. I'm so with you, as I put this in my mouth. I'm not. I am sort of a little.
But you just had to back off of the conversation with me 40% and not fully drink the water at the same time.
That's the point.
So you didn't do either of them fully.
That's the point.
Yeah. So that's what I was like. I'm just suggesting that there's, you know, the sort of furthering of that idea is for just a moment, be able to click fully into the thing, then back to this.
No, that is, of course, a thing one can do, obviously. But that's not what people are doing when they.
No, never. Hardly. Unless, you know, again, it's all on a spectrum. It's something we're working towards. It's where I mean, I love this idea because I mix things constantly.
Yeah.
And rarely do I just, like, even walking to the gym this morning, put my ears in, you know, put in my headphones and listen to some music.
Yeah.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But every once in a while, I'll not put my ears in and just walk. So the moment I'm having is now the walk.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's like the less we do, the more we do it. The less we're doing, the more we're doing the thing that we're doing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think what I'm trying to talk about, though, is, and I don't know if you relate to this, and maybe it's or not, or you have to tell me, have you had the experience of, because I think because I go through this so fucking often when I have some big shit that moves out of my fucking system, I go through this regularly where I go, oh my God, I can feel any single thing. Let's pick the drinking of the sparkly water, because why not? I could, when I drink sparkly water now, after that session on the couch, which I'll hopefully talk about in a second, I feel the experience of the sparkly water so much more fully in my body. It's a profound experience drinking sparkly water after layers of things, energies in my body that were blocking me from deeper sensation and experience and depth and connection are gone. So it's like,
Absolutely connect with that idea.
Okay.
Oh, there's no question. Absolutely. There's, yeah, when we, it's, you know, you clean the pipes and then you have everything becomes more tuned up.
Yeah.
And I, yeah. And it's kind of like when you mix all the colors, it all becomes brown.
Yeah.
Right. What if we don't mix those colors? We can see each of the colors.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to clean this. You got to clean the sludge out in some ways in order to get that experience. Sometimes I've been feeling that lately. Yeah, absolutely. You know, following up on our conversation from last week.
Yeah.
You know, after the session, and you know, it wasn't huge in the moment, but like then my, but I've absolutely been feeling, you know, more connected just doing this show, like more present to each moment in the play, to the point where like we, you know, our last show was fucking on fire. And to the point where you get kind of mad because you're like, oh, there's that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I've now done that moment right. Right. Quote, right. Or more deeply than I've ever done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that clearer, cleaner version of that moment on our closing performance.
Of course.
But that's fine. But that being said, it's because I had cleaned house a little bit and like was just more open and more connected and more available to the moment and not trying to think the moment.
Yeah.
You know, that's the shit as an actor we're dealing with all the time. It's like, yeah, ideally you kind of go into a fugue state and do it perfectly and then don't think about how it's going while it's happening. But I rarely get to experience that. And when I do, it's a fucking gift. But it's because I'm not doing two things at once, which is acting with my partner and asking how it's going. That's two things. It's not one thing. It's fucking two things.
That's it.
And thinking about the shit I have to take.
No, the poop. Yeah.
The poop that's loaded. Not the emotional baggage that I have to deal with. That's the fourth thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
So it is a gift to have those moments that you're just describing where you just can go, oh, I am drinking this fizzy water.
It's a trip. It's just, I think, again, I sometimes these things to me are just so, they quote, quote, feel profound because the shifts are so often that I'm just like, I get to, I sort of like peel away another layer and go, oh, look at tree leaves.
Yeah. I mean, and that is what drugs sometimes do for us. They just, they tune up.
Yes.
They tune you up to the present moment. A lot of, right. You know, mushrooms and LSD. I've never done LSD, but I have heard that that's a big part of what can happen. Not always. Sometimes it pushes you into this whole other narrative that you're not wanting to deal with.
Yeah.
But at its best, it goes, boink, you know, let me just turn up your visual sensory. And that's what you're doing now. It's we're seeing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just, it's neat. It's like all my senses come a little more online and more online.
Do you want to share what this experience was, this couch experience?
That's what I'm about to say. Yeah. So, but actually I want to hear about how was it for you, the eclipse? Anything happened for you? What did you experience? What was it like for you? And it could be like nothing.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, because it's relevant to some big life changes. I'm trying to think about how much to talk about because some of it's private and other people's story. I'll just say I am in a period of transformation of a relationship. It's a moment of significant shift.
It's not somebody else's story to say.
It's mine, but I just don't know how much I want to share. It's fine.
Okay. That's different.
Yeah. It's my story. Anyway, I'm in a moment of shift, significant shift that's been hard and sad and freeing and relieving and painful and all the things. And I'm doing my best to be very present to how it feels. And that's good. And on the eclipse, I went to a gathering with this person.
You know that we all know what you're talking about, though, right? It's
not. Yeah, probably. Everyone probably knows.
It's not. It's pretty obvious. If you listen to this podcast, like, it's pretty
fine. Clear. Let them work it out. Let them work it out.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was great to be in this person's presence with a bunch of other people that I also love.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, like, I didn't have an eclipse experience that I could say, it was the eclipse doing that, but I definitely felt very present to the okayness of change and shift, mm-hmm. and to love and to being loved, you know, and just being with people and not feeling like I had to do anything or perform anything or achieve anything.
Yeah.
Which I've been struggling with for months because we've been in this space of like,
oh, I see.
Trying to be okay. And instead just going, what if we weren't?
Right.
You know, and now it's like, and then showing up and saying, oh yeah, that feels really good.
That's nice.
And it speaks to what we're talking about. To be present to one thing, which is just to be present, you know, not be working on it from a sort of internal struggle space, but just to be like, oh, hi, I am here.
I'm in the moment because I'm not trying to make this thing happen or work.
That's it. Because I'm not trying to make it into something that it currently is not.
Yeah, I see.
And instead, just not being able to name what it is necessarily, but that's okay. It doesn't, you don't have to, I don't have to fucking title everything.
Yeah.
Sure. That's, you know, that's the other part is trying not to write the narrative while it's happening. Anyway, so that was my experience with the eclipse. We had a big eclipse gathering, got to look at it with glasses and food and talk about fun shit. And
what time of day was that?
Middle of the day.
What time? Do you know what time?
10:30 to 12:30 was basically when the eclipse itself was happening for us.
Yeah. And where did you go to see it?
Richmond area, up on the hill in Richmond.
That's cool.
Yeah. And we had, you know, we got glasses so you could look directly at it. And you know, it's for us in California, it was pretty partial, very partial. Mm-hmm. It was just like a little carve out at the bottom of the sun as it traveled across that part.
Yeah.
How about you? Why do you ask where it was Katie has a little smug look on her, not smug, but a little chuckle on her face.
Yeah, no, I'm laughing because I'm laughing at myself because this is always how shit like this goes in my reality. I'm just like, okay, I'll tell you. So I was saying to Rami, actually, Rami messaged me and was like, oh my God, the eclipse. And I feel like I'm doing a bad how Rami communicated impression. That is not how Rami
talks just like this.
Oh my God, can you believe the eclipse? You know, but Rami was saying, you know, they were hanging with whoever and they felt like they were microdosing and they were loopy and happy. And then they did a ceremony about a thing and then they had a very particular experience. And I talked with three people on the East Coast that day and all three people on the East Coast were having, each of them said to me, mentioned the phrase microdosing. They're like, I feel like I'm microdosing, but I'm not on anything. And I'm like, I had this theory by the end of the day that the East Coast people feel that way during something like this because West Coast people are always microdosing. like I think being on the West Coast is like constantly kind of microdosing.
That's
being
funny.
On the East Coast is so fucking tight ass that this eclipse comes and you're like, whoa, man, whoa.
And they got a more totality where they were probably.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the real thing.
Yeah, but still.
That's just like a jokey
right.
theory. I don't have any depth of awareness on that. Anyway, my point is, I heard it so many times and everybody I would talk to in California was like saying not that. It was just kind of cool. Anyway, what happened for me was, and I also shared this with Rami. So I forget, I'm so not good at, I'm not like earthy, spiritual people are like solstice, equinox, moon phases, solar eclipse, earth and planets, and our earthly awareness of seasons and when you harvest and when you sow and when you plant. Like, I'm so not of the ground that I miss all of this every time. I'm never aware. I'm not watching the news. I'm not talking to humans. I hermit a lot. So I'm like, I forget things are happening like these. Okay, so I totally forgot there was going to be an eclipse. I forgot. I think I knew, but I forgot. So I get up that morning and I felt incredibly sensitive. And then like my whole body was like very sensitive, like everything on the inside, all the muscles and the organs were like, oh, don't touch me. I'm so sensitive. I could feel everything and it was uncomfortable. And then on top of that, there was a depression that hit my heart. It felt like this just dark cloud on my heart. And then it the dark cloud on the heart secondarily mirrored into a heaviness in the mind. And I was like, this is some heavy shit right here. I'm not going to walk through my day with this. Plus, I had been off caffeine for 3 days in a row at the behest of my witch doctor friend, Lisa, whose house I'm in right now. Her house in Tiburon. Anyway, so I'm all clean and crisp because I'm off espresso. And this depression is there. And what I know about depression is it's always something else that's been repressed or suppressed. And for me, if depression hits, it's because something big and heavy that's emotional or trapped wants to move. So I was like, all right, well, I'm not doing this day feeling like this. And I was almost gonna like, fuck it, I'll just not pay attention to this and do my day. But then I started to have, I was like, must have caffeine, must have it. But my body was like, I don't even want it. What do you mean must have it? What I know about compulsion or addiction is that compulsion and addiction arises when something big and heavy that's too painful to be felt doesn't want to be felt. So I was like, all right, Ruben, you've got two big nuggets of evidence that like something is ready to move.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, we're going to do it. So I sat on the couch right over here and I was like, all right, consciousness. I have this phrase I say, I close my eyes, I feel into my heart, I connect with consciousness. And then I'm like, I'm calling up now into conscious awareness, everything in my spine, in a felt sense way, everything in my heart and everything everywhere that is causing this depression. What is repressed? It was like there was a hydraulic press. You know what those are?
Uh-huh. They squish things. Yeah.
But it's like metal that you can't stop from moving. It's like the firmest squeeze of reality.
Yeah.
It was like a metal, thick, two-sided, thick-ass, 3 inches on each side hydraulic press was squishing my heart and my spinal column.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. That sounds like it wasn't very pleasant.
No, that does not sound like a nice day for you. How was that for you?
Oh, I hardly stuck him at all.
I'm hurt real bad. Shut up.
Oofda.
I'm so sorry to hear. Oofda.
Oofda. How was that for you?
I bet you couldn't run your errands.
Did you go oop? Oop? Oop, that feels like a lot.
There's no call for that kind of language.
So I feel into that, and I know, and this is what I teach all my clients, and they're all tired of hearing it, but this is because it works. It's so boring, but it works. It's like you got to stay with it, and you got to go right into the worst of it, you know?
Yep.
So it gets tighter and tighter. Then it's like extending into my spinal column, up into my brainstem, and then it's going into the third chakra, and it's doing what it does. And I'm just leaning right in, and it's so tight, Cassidy, tight. Like, you ever, like, you know when you see, like, they take, like, thin, like, strings of metal and weave them together so that you have, like, a thick braid of metal?
Sure.
It was like that was my nervous system. And so I had to be that tight metal in my own spine in order for the, like, thin metal lines to, like, pull out and pull out and pull out, and then it was peace again. Now, here's the fun part. So that took, like, 17 minutes or something of the entire time I was in there, it felt like, oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to die.
Right.
If I face this is so scary and so dark and so painful, I might not make it through this. The insight then arises, oh, that fear that I'm going to die was what happened during the event that caused the trauma.
Shit.
In other words, I'm not going to die right now. It feels right now like I'm going to die because that old I'm going to die is up as this moves out.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know this because I've been through this a lot. And I was like, oh, okay. We think we're going to die. We're not. And then I'm asking God, am I going to die? Should I stop? And God's like, no, no. Carry forth. And I'm like, okay, this is from the past. Fine. Little, you know, 6 month old Katie felt like she was going to die.
And you didn't die then. We know because you're here right now.
Yep. But my life was actually threatened. So
yeah,
part of me was like, oh, we could die right now.
Yeah.
So what I did was section off that fear and that terror. It froze in my spine.
Yeah.
So I face the I'm going to die. I do some crying. It's very tight. It moves. While I was going to sit down on the couch, I did get an espresso and I had it there and I wasn't drinking it yet, but I was like, I'm having this after this fucking work. Fuck everybody. So I have my espresso and I put it next to me and I'm walking down and I'm like, oh, I guess we're going to get some rain today. It's so dark out. It's thunderstorms. And I'm like in Tiburon and it looked like too dark. I was like, that's a very dark storm. But then I'm looking over this side of the house and I'm like, it's very bright over there. Weird weather. Oh, well. I sit down, I do the thing, I come out 17 minutes later, and sunny skies, bright day, beautiful morning. What a glorious day. And I regularly have the experience of, this is a whole other thing that I'm sure we've talked about that we should talk about more. When I do a profound healing thing with myself or a client, the weather changes all the time.
We have talked about that.
So it happens all the fucking time. And I know people think I'm crazy, but it happens. So it's like, oh yeah, the weather changed. That's normal. Didn't clock anything. And then
I'm gonna predict that this happened around, I don't know, 11 a.m. on Monday.
So then I'm bopping around my life feeling like, wow, I feel light, filled with joy. What a difference. And then Rami's like, so, hey, what's up? How about that eclipse? And I'm like, oh,
what eclipse?
What time? And they were like, and then I was like, oh.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It's like the eclipse was like this squeeze of like, yeah, here it comes. And then now it's gone.
Wow. Damn.
Last thing, I know I'm saying a lot of words here, but
Sam,
to kind of wrap it, it's like, it's very cool how I make a joke at the beginning, but it's also like real for me that I'm never aware. I don't pay attention to like solstice, equinox, winter, spring. I'm just so not.
But it pays attention to you.
Yes. And that's why I'm like, oh, there's value in understanding what's coming because whatever. But the way I was saying it to Rami was like, I don't really need to because every day I'm doing some processing.
Yeah.
Third day I'm doing some huge shift of whatever fucking whatever now. So like, who cares if I know it's coming or not? It's always happening anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I know people that had significant, like just in the moment. I don't know about the changes that occurred necessarily, but like,
yeah,
even at the party, one person went out for the first part of it and was looking up and like, I am nauseous. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And they just, so they went and they stayed inside for the rest of it and just enjoyed the human connection, but couldn't take it. It was too much.
Yeah.
Another person was like a fucking lightning rod the whole time. And they stayed, all the more woo-woo people stayed inside most of the time.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
The sensitives didn't, even though they were the ones that were there for it, were more, you know, there was a number of more sensitive people, you know, spiritually sensitive folk at that gathering, and they all stayed inside most of the time. And
yeah,
I'm out there looking up at the thing with full stupid doop. This is cool. You guys come outside. Not realizing they're like, yeah, we're good. We're fine. We're fine.
We're
good.
All set over here.
This is great. I am so glad it's happening, but I can't take anymore. Yeah.
And I'm like, cool, let me face my death again.
Not even knowing that there's an eclipse.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
That's wild.
Yeah. But. And then it's been, there have been layers of it. Like today, I did about an hour of further unraveling of things, whatever. It's just always something. Anyway, it's been pretty cool. And the other thing I just want to say, just for people's awareness, I'm sure a lot of our listeners, you know this already, but like, there's also like, you know, we're in a retrograde, side note, for a fucking long one too. It's like all of April. It's like 3 weeks in April in a retrograde, and Pluto and Uranus are doing some shit. And so, three things I'm thinking at once. Thing number one is, part of why I experience it that way over there is, if you look at my astrology, I'm an Aquarius with Pisces moon and Sag rising. Of course, that person is on a couch facing their death, because Aquarius is all about change, transformation, and Pisces is the psychic and the otherworldly, and it's how I process emotionally. And Sag is about expansion and the beyond and the higher mind. So like, of course, but so if we could see it for everybody, each person, as you're saying, is having their individual experience based on like, what is their orientation to time space?
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And thing number two is, there's so much other stuff going on planetarily that like flavors this particular eclipse. The fact that it's in Aries is a thing. The Pluto Uranus transformational energy. The fact that Pluto moved into Aquarius and is going to sit there for like a fuck ton of years now means it was sitting in Capricorn. So all the Capricorn people and a couple other signs were like going through change in a big way. And then it moved. And now the rest of us are like getting that, whatever. That's happening. Then there's the square that's happening between those two right now, which is activating change, but in a weird, hard, deep way. And then there's the fucking retrograde, which is like, let's review everything. And I'm like,
but not make any decisions or sign any contracts, right, or
review it all. just don't choose. And I'm like, and then today, like, yeah, just contracts are like up and then they're down and they're up and they're down. And it's wild.
I'm having a hell of a time deciding things.
That would make sense.
Like calendar or schedule or commitment things, like really don't want to make the decisions.
Yeah.
Got a bunch of things. You know, you even asked me something on Saturday. I was like, well, I had also said that I would do this thing with this person. And this person also said, hey, do you want to do this thing? And I can only honestly do, well, I could do two of whatever. Doesn't matter. And I could just be like, yeah, I'll make a decision. Can't.
Totally.
Someone asked me to join a board and like a board of directors on something. And
yeah.
And I think I know the answer. The answer is no, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But I can't quite get to that. I just need to message, but can't decide.
But I think you have the emotional wave, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're in the wave.
I've been in the wave. Yeah. But I just feel like, and that's what I'm trying to do is just be okay with not deciding and just knowing, yeah, I will have deadlines on some of these decisions and I'll have to decide by a certain point, but fuck it. I don't want to do it right now. I don't want to decide right now.
You're in the I'm the uncertainty of the wave. That's very correct for someone with emotional authority.
But, and I wonder if there's an additional element of like, also nobody should decide anything right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can help it.
But it's doing you a service to show you how the wave works.
Yeah.
Because I do wonder if you regularly commit a little too fast before you've actually ridden the wave.
Yeah, probably. And that's because the necessity of the 3D world sometimes requires that we commit quicker.
I would offer it doesn't.
Well, let's just say if you don't make a choice and the deadline passes, that made the choice for you.
Yeah, but also there's often a way. I've just been working with this emotional authority in myself a long time. I don't mean to say it doesn't. I mean to say oftentimes if I'm not clear and I just reach back out and go, hey, I'm so sorry. Could you give me two more days on this? People say yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like what always seems like a hard and fast deadline that we have no option but to honor often is looser if you ask about it.
Oh, you mean communicate and be open with ideas rather than assuming what the other person's story is? What are you proposing, Ruben? That is outlandish. How dare you?
I know.
How fucking dare you?
I'm a bad person. It's true.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. Side note, just because we're here and I don't want to forget. Speaking of all this, the Friday thing we were going to do got moved to next week.
Okay.
But the Saturday thing I'm asking you about is now on Friday.
Oh, okay. So we can just...
Yep.
Keep it. Great. Well, that takes one Saturday decision off of my plate.
Now, if that changes, I'll know by tomorrow at like 10 a.m. If they have to put it on Saturday again. But for now, plan on everything.
Must stay loosey-goosey on it all.
I think it's the same. I think it's going to stay on Friday.
Okay. Like that's funny.
Now. And good news for us, it's a way easier, better gig.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool. Whatever. Keep me posted.
I will.
And if I'm able to do the thing next week, I will. But I won't know until you know.
Yeah, no problem. We'll talk about it.
I know you needed to keep it short today, so we could probably wrap it up here without a big reading or anything. But what else do we got? I think we're doing pretty good.
Well, what's going on with you next? You finished your show.
Finished my show. It was a wonderful ending. Like, great last show. God damn it. You know, that feeling of like, oh, that's the fucking place I've been. I'm learning that I actually think, what am I trying to say? You know, we've been talking about me needing to get more embodied or wishing I could be more embodied. I don't know what the words are there, but embodying myself. And yes, it's a long-term thing, but it's also, I think it's sort of, this is a judgment word, but worse in the last few years than ever in the past, because the struggles I had as an actor being present in this show were more than I think I've ever experienced.
Huh.
I did great mechanically and was available enough to it to do my fucking job and do it well.
Sure.
But the level to which I was running lines ahead of the line because I wanted to make sure I got the next line out.
Yep.
I don't do that. That's not something I do. But like not being able to trust my own memory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's partially due to the nature of how she writes. It's like, oh God, keep up. But like I've done fucking shows, so many shows that have challenging rhythm and stuff. And once you get in your body, you got it. And you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But I definitely was, because I experienced finally returning somewhat to that more expert version of myself just towards the end of the run, which I feel like is partially about returning to my system, mm-hmm. like being fully in my own system instead of being just in my head.
Yeah.
So starting to get, I mean, and just scratch the surface on the level of that, but that's my theory. Does that make sense?
So you're saying that because you had that more embodied experience at the end, you realized how disembodied you'd been before?
How disembodied I've been for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't been acting that much of late, so it hasn't been put to the test.
You've been acting a ton of late. You mean before the last 6 months, 3 months?
Yeah. Let me see.
You mean because pandemic?
Yeah. I mean, the last show I did was in October, so... And that I didn't feel like I was having that experience in October, that disembodied experience very much.
Yeah.
But since then, I haven't done a show and I've also gone through a lot and there's been some emotions and things have happened. And
I see. So you had 3 months off and it feels like a long time.
Like 6 months almost.
Wait, what? Hold on a second.
Well, 5 months. October, November, November, December, January, February. You're right. It's only like 5 months.
But wait a second. You did.
I didn't really do anything in December. I was an understudy and I never went on.
Oh, that's why I'm.
I think I would have been about as disembodied head as I'd ever been in my life if I'd ever gone on that show.
Okay, because that makes sense to me now. I was like, wait, but I know there was a project between and that's why I'm confused.
Yeah, that was 100% head project.
But I'm saying that. Why I thought there was a creative project, because there right. was one. You just didn't get to go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I imagine I would have had him. I think that, in fact, I didn't enjoy that experience, partially because it was so just in the head panic.
Of course.
And then I think I carried a little of that into the show, which was strange because I was really enjoying it and loved the role and loved the people and I was having a good time. But I definitely was in a space of not being... I want to say like expert at what I do as I've felt in the past.
Mm. Don't you think some of that has to do with just like we've all except for Rami, been out of the game throughout the pandemic? Like a lot of people didn't work as...
Sure. But like I said, I have done a couple of shows and I don't feel like I experienced those that...
So what do you think?
To the extent that I was experiencing it on this show.
Why do you think this was happening?
I sense that it has something to do with it was almost like it was there for me. It was, the gift of awareness of that is to say, oh, that's because you're ready to return to your body because you've been saying you haven't been there for a little while.
But I'm saying, what do you attribute the not being there to?
I don't have an answer to that.
Okay.
I honestly don't. I don't have a gut on that.
I wondered if here's some ideas. One would be like the stuff going on in the relationship that you mentioned at the beginning of the talk today.
Yep.
Could have been enough of a stressor to take you out of your body.
Yep.
Or it could be like stuff from childhood that was coming up in whichever relationships it's been coming up in is up enough that it's in the way.
Yeah.
And it's ready to move.
Yeah.
Or some other thing.
Yeah.
Those are theories.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm trying not to get too like name it and you know what I mean? Because then it'll just be about thinking about it. I want to.
Oh.
Yeah, I am interested I resonate more with the second one you said.
OK,
but they're connected. The stuff that's happening in the relationship is connected to the stuff that is coming up from my childhood. And,
for sure.
You know, they're all connected 100%. So. And
so let me see if I hear you correctly, because I think what I heard you just say was when you name the origin of a problem that takes you right into your head about it and you'd rather not be in your head.
I'm trying that out. That is a not well developed theory on my part. But I know that often, you know, it's like something we've talked about a little bit. It was like, you know, people like, oh, tell me about all my past lives. And you're like, to what end? Let's actually just work on the energy that needs fixing mm-hmm. rather than the narrative that you're, you know, the mental narrative is fine and all, but it's not what's actually important.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. That being said, talk therapy also is really useful and good. And it does require a certain acknowledgement of the reality of what's going on in your head mm-hmm. as well as your heart. So I'm just trying to find the balance of that, but I'm honoring the open head and ajna of I can't figure it out. I don't need to figure the freedom to not figure it out.
For you. I think the way I think about this when I'm working with people or with myself is you need only as much understanding as gives you access to more feeling.
That was me snapping, but they probably didn't hear it. That almost made me cry just for some reason.
Oh, good. Yeah. So whatever degree of understanding is necessary to open the feeling, that's the point of understanding.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to seek that much. I just want to open the door. I'm just trying to open the door. And the struggle is like, open the door rather than, no, just open the door.
Yeah.
You know, like trying not to mental muscle it so much that that's what's going on.
Got it.
Because that's what I do and that disembodies me.
Rock on.
I appreciate that. Wow, that was an interesting thing. It was such a simple statement you said.
Yeah.
But it shocked my system.
Yeah, it's good.
You saw it, you felt it.
And if you could stay with that when we hang up, you'd get a lot of useful work.
I'll go right into a meditation since we hang up here because I'm there right now.
I love you.
I love you, Katie. Let's talk. We'll see you on Friday.
See you Friday.
And I actually have another question for you, but it's a scheduling question for us.
Text me.
As friends. What? We're also friends.
What?
Yeah, we are.
I love you. Let's all do our work.
You do your work and I'll do mine and you all do yours.
Bye.
Bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.